that we can apply to our lives and our legacies for the Lord that may be used for his purposes. Consider Bible history. Before Jesus came, the nation of Israel was ruled by king after king after king in succession. And the record of these kings gives us a glimpse to their influence. In fact, scripture actually labels them, each king, as either having been an evil king or a good king. So we're going to look at the life and legacy of Hezekiah the Reformer. And that is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. If you have your Bible, it's 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And I'm going to start at the first verse as we read his influence, his impact, and look at some of those timeless characteristics we see in him. Starting at verse 1, it says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, and she's the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them into the square on the east. And he said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now consecrate yourself and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place. For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done what is evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They have forgotten him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. They also shut the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps and did not burn incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel." I'm going to skip to verse 10. It says, "Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, in order that his fierce anger may be turned away from us." So the timeless characteristics we can start to see already in what is described in Scripture about Hezekiah. The first is diligence. Hezekiah was a diligent follower of God. Diligence simply means that there was an earnest effort. He was occupied with the plan of God. He was engaged in the pursuit of him, seeking to do well with the plan of God, to see where God is at work and joining him in it. He's attentive. He's persistent in the task set before him. That's a Hezekiah. That's what Hezekiah was. Now, we know Hezekiah was a diligent man of God because he wasted no time getting to task. In the verses we read today, in verse 3, it says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He got busy doing the work of God on the first day of the job. Colossians 4:5 says, "Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time." We need to evaluate, where does my time go in a day? What does my time look like in our time day to day? In Psalms 90:12, it says, "So teach us to number our days that we might have a heart of wisdom." These verses are pointing us to the fact that we need, as Christians, to give God the good parts of our attention, the good parts of our time. Evaluating, limiting, guarding, and protecting our time is so much first worth the effort. But it's also a continual process in our lives, especially in our culture, which is really good at specializing in busy and hurry and do. So evaluating, limiting, and guarding our time. It's worth it, and it's a continual process. Diligence, making the best use of our time. The second timeless characteristic is repentance. Hezekiah returned back to what was right. What a great way to describe repentance. There was a desperate need for repair, for redirection, and reorientation. In the verses that we read in verse 5, it said that he said to the Levites, "Now consecrate yourselves and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place." Hezekiah was willing to restore that which had been destroyed, cluttered, damaged. He was willing to return back to what was righteous in the sight of the Lord. And this is a symbol for us today. Like his tangible removal of filth from the holy place is a great analogy for our lives as it pertains to the pursuit of holiness that we are called to. His demonstration of repentance gave him the legacy that we read in Scripture in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. They both give us accounts of him. So we read his part of his account in 2 Chronicles. But in 2 Kings, it says, this is of his legacy. In 18:5, it says, he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all of the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who came before him. Wow, that's what Scripture says about Hezekiah, about his trust in the Lord, and what a legacy by his active pursuit and diligence to repent and return back to what is proper. The temple had to be reclaimed back to its proper use, its proper function. A repentant life is a person who is willing to be repaired, to be redirected, to be reoriented back to the way and the will of God. You know, the thief, it says in Scripture that the thief has come to steal, to kill, destroy. He has come to disrupt your direction, to disorient you away from the Lord. But Christ wants to reclaim us back to his purposes. Are we willing to be stripped of the distractions, disruptions, and sin? Are we willing to be redirected by being filled by the Spirit of God? See, a lot of junk had to be removed from the temple before Hezekiah could actually use it properly. It's important to read these two books, 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings, these books of history together. It's interesting that you only find one verse in 2 Kings describing Hezekiah's reform or the repentant cleansing process. Only one verse describing the cleansing of his nation, the nation that he did. However, when you read in 2 Chronicles, there's three whole chapters of description given to the repairing work. But I find it interesting. So I want to read to you that one verse in 2 Kings that discusses the cleansing of the land. 2 Kings 18, it says of Hezekiah, "He removed the high places and broke the pillars and cut down the Asherah. He broke into pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For unto these days, the people of Israel had made offerings to it." That serpent that had once been a reminder of what God could do, It was made by Moses because God had done an amazing work. That object that used to be the reminder of what God can do actually then became an idol that they worshiped. The destruction of this snake, the serpent that Moses had made for the Israelites during the time that they were wandering in the desert, tells us that by the time Hezekiah came, the snake had become an object of worship. That thing that used to be a good thing, in and of itself, it wasn't a bad thing. But time had drifted, and they drifted, and they began to worship it. I want to read to you, John Wesley was raised by his mother, Susan Wesley. And when he was young, John Wesley asked his mother, "Hey, mother, can you give me a definition of sin?" Susanna Wesley responded with these words. What's the definition of sin? "Sin is whatever weakens your reasoning, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, and takes away your relish for spiritual things." In essence, she is saying, whatever increases the power and authority of the flesh over the spirit, that to you, John Wesley, is sin, however good it is in and of itself. Okay, so sin is whatever weakens your reasoning, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes away your relish for spiritual things. That's sin to you, however good it is in and of itself. That could be anything in our lives. For Moses, having that serpent, that was a good thing. It was a fine thing. It was a great reminder of the Lord. But it became sinful. They held it sinfully. They took care. They treated it sinfully. They put it in the wrong place of their life and worshiped it. So what had to be done with it? Of just a fine thing had to be destroyed. People might think you're crazy. I've had to throw away DVDs that most people, maybe other people, could care less about. And they might think it's weird that I did. But if you hold it improperly, you throw it away. Are we willing to do that? When something is meant for good turns into something you hold sinfully, it's got to go. Break it down. That's what repentance is. And this is what the Lord wants to do in purifying your life. Hezekiah did a lot of things that demonstrated repentance. Hezekiah, he restored the temple. He called back the Levites and began once again the worship of God. He knew all of this needed to get done. He knew how then to properly handle those situations. Well, how did he know all of that? How did he know to break open the doors and repair and restore, how to call back the Levites, and how to do all of the things that the temple needed done? Well, it was because it was written in the book of the law, the word of God. He was directed to proper repentance because of the instructions of the Lord. We will know what's to be done. We will know how to handle properly situations because of what the Lord provides for us. We can know what is needed to be done to cleanse out our own lives because we have the word. Reformation begins with a return back to the authority of the word of God and obeying God's instructions. If we, the people of God, want to be impactful to the culture around us, we must first seek God and be obedient to his word. That's where the impact then comes from. Things will need to be swept away, cleaned out, repaired, and redirected. Hezekiah destroyed the idols and he shut down the idol worship at the high places. He restored the worship of the temple. He did whatever he could to get the people back to the blessed old Bible. And it all started with him. It required first that he himself personally took God seriously. And as a result, the first action that Hezekiah took in beginning this reform was to open the doors of the house of God, to give way to repentance, and returning is a return back to proper worship. If we're ever going to have revival, we must first begin by opening the doors of our lives in vulnerability and cleaning out the clutter, and let the Lord into the closed parts of our lives. So that's repentance. We have diligence, repentance, and now we have another characteristic, which is devotion. Hezekiah was not only repentant, but he was also committed to working out God's plan to completion, being devoted to the entire process. In order for us to have godly legacies, like those we see in Scripture, as like Hezekiah, we must be devoted until the end. Now, Hezekiah's father, his name was Ahaz. And Ahaz defiled the temple. He closed and shut the doors. He actually hindered the Levites. He prevented the Levites from their ministry at the temple. He did what was evil in the sight of all that was around them, in the sight of the Lord too. An entire generation had put layer upon layer of rebellion and defilement prior. The nation had turned its back on the Lord, and yet we see what one person can do by taking the word of God seriously. His influence on the nation of Judah spurred them on to the right living and true worship. And it only took 16 days to clean out that temple. And we read in the verse, if we read farther in verse 17, it says that once they consecrated themselves and they knew what needed to be done because of Hezekiah's direction, they began, in 17, it said, they began to consecrate it on the first day of the first month, and on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. He was one of the few kings to tear down high places. He, a rare king, ended hill idol worship, and he's the one king who actually was known for inviting the kingdom of the north of Israel and Judah in the south to unite together at the temple to worship. Like Hezekiah, our influence isn't determined by those who came before us and what they have done in the past, nor by what's going on around us. Our influence is built upon our devotion to God through what we have to offer him. There's been a lot of rubbish accumulating in the name of religion that has become so consuming that we sometimes ignore the essential true worship that we see in Scripture. And so being devoted is not to try to chase after the most innovative and unique things that we can experience that church offers, you know, all these things. Nor is it also aimlessly preoccupying ourselves with things because, quote, we've just always done it. It's evaluating through the word of God what God has subscribed to what devotion and worship truly is. It's all about returning back to the things that we know please the Lord. Hezekiah went back to the basics. So you might be thinking, okay, so what's our basics? What is that? Well, we go back to Pentecost. That's a good place to start. Pentecost is actually what we know to be the jumpstart of the church. It's the establishment of the church by the sending of the Holy Spirit who established the church. So that day, when that all happened, the the people that were gathered in the upper room were praying. Then Peter stood out among a crowd of thousands and preached. He preached and thousands responded to salvation. And because they asked, like, oh, what do we do? And that's when Peter said, repent and be baptized. And so after they repented, okay, so we've repented, we've been baptized. Okay, now they're looking back to Peter, who preached that awesome message. He's like, okay, now what do we do? What do we do next? What is our lives supposed to look like from this point on? And that's when you read the very next verse, immediately following the repentance, it says in Acts 2:42, my favorite verse, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Okay, what's that? The essential acts of worship, which are scripture, fellowship, worship, and prayer. Those things, when we put those back in their proper place, the byproduct is our influence. The byproduct is life change and eternal impacts. The difference that distinguished Judah's kings in their history accounts as either being an evil king or a good king was simple. Hezekiah was one of the good kings, in contrast to many, many evil kings who did wrong in the eyes of the Lord. And the distinction is how they handled the word of God. Many, the men of great and godly influence were men who took God seriously. These men took and applied the truth to influence the land that they were in by the word of God, and we would learn to do the same. There's no doubt there will be someone who is eternally impacted, meaning heaven will be impacted. People around you will be impacted. There's no doubt somebody will be impacted simply by you taking God seriously. So we see kids today desiring to be YouTube influencers. But we all have positions of influence to some degree or another. Some people beg for huge followings. Others actually have huge followings but did not ask for it, nor maybe they want it. But no matter the crowd, no matter how big or small the crowd may be, will you take on these timeless characteristics to honor and serve the Lord? I have a sign in my kitchen that says, somebody is learning what it means to be a person by watching you. Let that sink in. And I don't know where you spend your time or who you spend your time around, but I can promise you this, somebody is watching. There's actually a quote from Jones on the subject of who's watching us, the influence we have on the people who are watching us. It says, whether we like it or not, it is a fact that the world judges God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ and the whole Christian faith by what it sees in us. We are his representatives. We are the people who take on his name upon us. We are the people who talk about him. And the man outside the church regards the church as the representative of God. I actually tweaked that phrase for myself with the little ones that I have in my home. So I think of it this way. Whether I like it or not, it is a fact that my children judge God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the whole Christian faith by what they see in me. I am his representative. I am the person that takes on his name, and I am the person that talks about him, and the children within my home regard me as the representative of God. When I read these verses about like working heartily for the Lord and not for man and doing your best to present yourself to God as one approved, as our influence is considered, I actually think of some people who in my life have taken God seriously and have in return, God had taken them seriously. Well, one of those people is Leonard Ravenhill, he was passed before I was living, but he reminds me of verses like this. He passed away in, I guess he was away, 1994. So I was just 4 years old, but I've never met him. But having devoted himself and his life to preaching and prayer for revival, there's a poem that was written about him and about his influence. And I think it's timely and impactful to hear. And this is the poem about Leonard Ravenhill. It's a tribute to a godly man. I knew a man who gave his life to see revival fire. He prayed by day, he prayed by night to birth this one desire. He had but one obsession, to see a glorious bride arrayed in spotless purity brought to her bridegroom's side. His power while in the pulpit was matched by very few, and yet he loved the closet there with the God he knew. While others strove for man's applause, for fortune and for fame, he had but one ambition, to exalt his master's name. For 87 years, he lived just for eternity, a man of faith and wisdom and true humility. He knew one day he'd have to stand before God's judgment seat, and so he ran to win the prize, his mission to complete. The fortune that he left behind was not in stocks or gold, but lives transformed and changed, their stories yet untold. There is no greater privilege than this that I have had of knowing this great man of God and having him as dad. We know people who have taken their influence seriously. And we need people who make the best use of their time inside and outside the home. Consider how evil Hezekiah's father was, how resistant Hezekiah's own father was to the purposes and plans of God, to actually hinder all the people he could from doing the work of God. So I think of this, like how influential this evil he had perpetrated on the culture and how much the culture was influenced by that. But how could then he raise up a son like Hezekiah? And my suspicion is that Hezekiah had a mother who took her influence within the home seriously. And so this is encouraging. And this is what I was actually noticing today, just real quick. When you read his intro, it says that his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Hezekiah. You know, if you have concordances in your Bible, there's a little note, there's a little letter right by Hezekiah. So this is her upbringing. This is his mom's upbringing was that she was the daughter of Hezekiah. So if you go to the reference that I have in my Bible and you turn to that page and you read about her father. So that this would be his grandpa, Hezekiah or Zechariah. It says, years ago, Hezekiah's great-grandpa was the king of the land, Uzziah. And it says, Uzziah set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah. Zechariah, who instructed him to fear God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So that gave me a little indication that there was somebody, his grandpa and his mother, who was influencing him despite the influence and legacy of his own dad. So we look at these qualities, diligence, giving God the quality time and attention, repentance, clearing out the things that need cleared out, and devotion, completing and not giving up to task, the serving to the Lord. So if there's any area of your life that may need revamped, reclaimed, and redirected back to the Lord, today's the day. I would encourage you to consider these things, what you could do to act upon them today. You know, Hezekiah, he got started in the first year and in the first month of his reign. So there's no better time than to apply these things now. So as we close, Consider these things as they apply to your life. Guarding our time and our attention and giving God the good parts of our lives in devotion. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word, that you have intentionally given us guidance, direction, and inspiration as we look to people and instructions that you have given us. As we think of Hezekiah and what you have allowed us to know about his life, a glimpse into his life, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity to be inspired by those examples. Lord, as we look at our legacy, as we look at our influence, would you give us the wisdom to walk in a manner worthy of you, making the best use of our time? Lord, let us listen to the convictions that you give us in our heart, and that we would take those steps of faith as we seek to serve you and please you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.